As we continue worshiping together this morning, hear the words of Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us," and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Please remain risen now and hear these words from the Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning in the 35th verse. They came to Jericho, and he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
This past week, a moment of grace occurred in which I had the opportunity to sit at the table with the Reverend Jesse Jackson over breakfast. And I asked him, what it was that he had done over all these years of being in the struggle for justice, to keep from burning out, giving up, stopping. What was keeping him going, and I'm telling you, that man is still going. He told me his schedule. He crisscrosses the country to get where he feels called to be. And he said quite simply, purpose. A clear sense of purpose. And for me, that was just the word I needed to hear. Who are we? Who are we called to be? What is our purpose? That's really what we've been talking about over these last weeks at Foundry as we've been thinking together about our call to generosity, to support who we are and what we do and who we're becoming. So I was so grateful to be reminded, especially in this week, that clarity of purpose is one of the great gifts that we share and that will help keep us going for the long haul. We know this is not a sprint. It's a marathon. This is our leg of the journey. So, just a little reflection. And by the way, I have to share with you, he came with some of his family to our Howard Thurman class on Wednesday night, participated fully, shared a few thoughts, and was deeply moved and inspired by us, by what's happening among us. What a powerful affirmation. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this moment in which we gather to be encouraged and reminded of what is real, to be reminded of our purpose, which is to love you and serve you, to serve your people, to stand up with and for those who are in need, and to respond to the injustices and the hatred in our world with justice and with love. Loving God, as we reflect now on the scripture, the story of Bartimaeus, I pray that you would use the words and meditation of my heart and my mind for your purpose. Help us to receive your word today as we continue to think about what it means to be generous and to give fearlessly. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. There once was a man named Bartimaeus who at one time had been able to see, but now he is blind and sitting in a prominent place on a prominent road. He's a beggar, a nobody in his day, discounted by passers-by as one of no good to anyone. As he sits, he clutches his cloak, because this, you see, is his comfort. It's his warmth. It is his security. By day, he spreads his cloak out on his lap to catch the coins that are tossed his way. And by night, that same cloak is his blanket. He clings to his cloak, his security blanket, holding on for dear life to the comforting, familiar contours of this thing that defines his life. Over the years, I imagine, Bartimaeus has come to believe what others say about him. He has grown comfortable, perhaps, with the facts of his situation. It is what it is, I can hear him thinking. I am what I am, and I can't trust anyone, and I can't be different than I am today. I am hurt, and I'm rejected, and I'm called a sinner because of my state, blamed for my own suffering. If I move from my spot here, someone else will come and take over my prime position by this road, so I'm stuck. People come and go in the busyness of their lives, all passing me by. But one day, Bartimaeus hears that Jesus of Nazareth is setting out for a journey along that prominent road from Jericho to Jerusalem. And somehow, from somewhere deep in his soul, Bartimaeus remembers who he really is, like the son who had ventured far from his father's home and had squandered all the gifts that he had freely received. Bartimaeus came to himself. He knew Jesus was near, and so he cried, "Mercy." Those who were with Jesus only saw a nuisance, a nobody, a beggar. They were quick to remind Bartimaeus that he didn't merit any notice, that he didn't belong in their group, that he needed to keep his mouth shut. But Bartimaeus called out again, and called out to Jesus as the Messiah. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then the most wonderful and surprising thing happened. The surprise is not that Jesus stopped in his tracks, or that Jesus heard Bartimaeus' cries, or that Jesus called him to himself. No, the surprise, what I think is the miracle, is that Bartimaeus threw off his cloak and he sprang up. In that moment, the man sheds all the security and the comfort and the familiarity of his old way of life. He throws off the cloak of an identity and reality that kept him quiet, that left him feeling resentful and powerless, an identity that was, I imagine, deeply ingrained in his being. And when Jesus asks what it is that Bartimaeus wants, the blind man does not ask for a lifetime supply of blankets. He doesn't ask for a way to continue more comfortably in the life that he was living. Instead, Bartimaeus presents himself to Jesus with the strange and faith-filled expectation that he can be changed, that he can become someone not entirely new, but more of who he knows himself in his heart of hearts to be. He asks to see again. Bartimaeus' faith in Jesus' care for him gives him the power to reclaim his life, to stand up and to speak out, to take his rightful place in the journey towards Jerusalem, to regain what he had lost. From that place of faith-filled power, Bartimaeus joins Jesus, following Jesus on the way to the cross. The story of Bartimaeus is the story of our lives in so many ways. No matter what our circumstances, all of us have security blankets that, if we're not careful, hold us back, keep us silent and sidelined, make us believe all those old limiting messages received from people in our past about who we are or what we're capable of, making us cling to idols that we think will save us. And Jesus, like Bartimaeus, Jesus draws near to us and is so generous. What do you want me to do for you? That's the question Jesus asked James and John when they presented their demands to Jesus. And it's the question that Jesus asks Bartimaeus as he cries out for mercy. I believe it's the question that Jesus asks all of us. Our God is so generous with us, wanting to give us not just what we think we want, but to begin to understand what we most truly and deeply need, to be free of what binds us, to know ourselves deeply held and loved by God, and to have meaning and purpose for the living of our days. These are the things that make it possible to live with less fear. But to truly receive them means we will have to throw off our proverbial cloaks, our false security blankets, and move toward Jesus, and move with Jesus. These past weeks, as I mentioned, Foundry has been engaging with our extended family congregations, Asbury United Methodist and John Wesley African Methodist Episcopal Zion churches, in a study of Howard Thurman, the brilliant and influential pastor, teacher, and author who deeply influenced the civil rights and social justice movements of the last 100 years. In his book, Jesus and the Disinherited, Thurman speaks directly to our theme today, saying this: nothing less than a great daring in the face of overwhelming odds can achieve the inner security in which fear cannot possibly survive. He goes on, it's true that one can't be serene unless one possesses something about which to be serene. Here, we reach the high water mark of prophetic religion, and it's the essence of the religion of Jesus of Nazareth. Of course, God cares for the grass of the field. Of course, God cares for the sparrow that falls unnoticed by the wayside. God also holds the stars in their appointed places, leaves a mark on every living thing. And, Thurman says, God cares for me. And he writes, to be assured of this becomes the answer to the threat of violence, yea, to violence itself. To the degree to which a person knows that God cares about them, that person is unconquerable from within and without. Liberation from fear requires great daring in the face of overwhelming odds. The world wants to say that no one cares, there's no difference, there's no God in the universe. Faith is great daring, and it's a faith that says, I know God is, and I know God loves, and I know God cares, and I know God cares about me and everyone else. Not just a proclamation of this, but a great daring in the face of overwhelming odds in our world. That's what we're after around here at Foundry. That's what we're trying to be up to. That's what God's getting us up to. We at Foundry sit in a prominent place on a prominent road. And we intentionally stand in solidarity with those who live on the edge or who are pushed to the margins. And we call out injustice and suffering, even when others say we should keep our mouths shut. And we're doing all we can to make sure that folks don't just pass by, but have their lives or their hearts impacted by our presence and our activity. That passersby are challenged and inspired, maybe even drawn to the shared life and work and vision that's available in and through our congregation. And we're laboring to help those whose dignity and identity has been trampled or denied to remember and to believe that they are beautiful and beloved, that they can live fully and freely in the liberating love of God. That's the promise for us all. It's the truth. And the only way we can do any of it is if we, like Bartimaeus, show great daring in the face of overwhelming odds and trust God's love and care for us and throw off our security blankets and get on the journey toward the cross and resurrection. One of the primary ways we do that is through our giving. These past weeks, we've been talking about generosity. We've talked about how children remind us what fearless generosity looks like, and about the way that Jesus gets all up in our business and pushes our buttons about our relationship with our money and our possessions, and about the challenge before us to risk failure for the sake of love and justice. We've learned from this past month's study of Mark that giving without fear is a way to practice living without fear. And today we find ourselves once again seated here in this prominent place on this prominent road, and even being here for some of us might be an act of great daring, an act of living without fear. And thanks be to God that we continue to show up and say no to fear and yes to faith. Here we sit in this prominent place on this prominent road. And Jesus is drawing near and is calling to us. We are being called to throw off the cloak of scarcity, that lie that holds us back, that lie that we don't have the financial resources among and between us to fund the vision for 2019 and keep our incredible forward movement going. Our fearless giving is what will make it possible to reach more people with the gospel message of love and inclusion and justice and hope that we proclaim. Our fearless giving is what will make it possible to feed and stand in solidarity and advocate and serve and show up in all the places we're called to be. Our fearless giving is what will make it possible to experience ever more transcendent worship, to support the growing numbers of babies and children and youth that are all around us, and to be and become true beloved community. And yes, I know that the markets tanked this past week. That just makes this moment even more poignant and significant. Because even when the markets are great, giving our money is a huge leap of faith. And that's really what we need to make right now as we lean into the next year. We need to make a huge leap. We're not going to try to edge there. It won't work. Because what we need to get to where we need to be next year requires a $400,000 increase in our budget. And that sounds like a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And we start to break it down, we see that if we had the equivalent of 200 people give, on average, $2,000 more next year, we would raise $400,000. 200 people who can give, on average, $2,000 next year. Either, if you've never given, give it. If you are giving, increase it, on average. And here's the thing, some folks won't be able to do that. Some of us might be able to support some of those siblings who can't participate in this work by giving, covering, say, 5 or 10 of our siblings. Give 10,000 more. Some of us might be able to support 50 and give $100,000 next year. I don't know. If you want to participate by increasing what you're giving or making a first-time gift, I invite you in just a few moments, when we as a congregation participate in an act of commitment towards what God is calling us to simply write fearless on your card. If you've already made your estimate for next year, then you can just go ahead and write something on the card so that you might participate in our ritual of commitment. If you haven't yet completed that card, I hope you have one, and simply invite you to complete it and then write fearless on the card if you want to be one of those 200 or help us get to that number. A story is told of an incredible tightrope walker who would do these tightrope acts at just tremendously scary heights all over Paris. And this tightrope walker wouldn't only just go across the tightrope, he would go across the tightrope and then he would go back across the tightrope with a blindfold. That wasn't enough, so he would go back across the tightrope with a blindfold, pushing a wheelbarrow. Now, an American promoter got wind of this and decided, even though he did not believe it was possible, he thought it would get a great turnout and he would charge people to come and watch to see this guy try to cross Niagara Falls. So he brings him, he writes and says, will you come? The guy in Paris says, well, I've never seen the falls, but I would love to come. So they get there, the promoter does the thing, huge crowds, everyone's there, super excited. The idea was for the guy to cross from the Canadian side to the American side. He goes up and decides to dispense with just the normal thing, eyes open. Goes ahead and puts the blindfold on first time across, makes it across the tightrope, no problem. The crowd goes wild. Tightrope walker comes over to Mr. Promoter and says, okay, do you believe I can do it now? Promoter says, yes. He goes, no, do you really believe I can do it now? He said, yes, I just saw you do it. He said, no, seriously, do you really believe I can do it? He said, yes, I believe you can do it. So the tightrope walker says, all right then, you get in the wheelbarrow. Today's the day Jesus asks us to get into the wheelbarrow, throwing off the cloaks of our old way of living, those false security blankets, and to tell us not just to speak the words of faith. Oh, yes, Jesus, I believe in you. I trust you. You got the power. I'm on the journey. I'm going to go where you want me to go. It's not just speaking about it. It's about putting your life in it and trusting your life and all that you have and all that you are to what Christ will do, and to trust that Christ is going to take care of you, that Christ is going to be with you and up under you, is going to get you from here to there, is going to take you where you need to go. It means that we put ourselves in the wheelbarrow to trust Christ to sustain us. Only when we do that will we be able to fully live into the amazing call that has been placed upon us. Jesus is asking us to give fearlessly so that all kinds of new life might emerge.